We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
At the end of the day, you think about what a man really is. You know, you settle stuff out in the field. You don't really talk about it. And then that's basically what I do. I mean, back in the day, that's how I usually settle it. You know, I didn't really want to talk about it, but, you know, I heard what he said. Didn't really bother me that much, but at the end of the day, U.S. guys, and when I played with the White Sox in 2016, I saw 23 of those guys. They know what happened. For him to even talk after that, I don't know how you talk after that, and that's basically all I'll say after that. But, you know, men usually settle on the field. They don't need to talk about it, but, you know, he started it with coming at me with that kind of, I'm a man, I got a mortgage, I'm paying two kids. Pay off your mortgage. I don't know what to tell you.
Y'all know that infamously, Frazier moved his locker. They used to be next to each other. And that was 3 years ago. So at some point, Frazier's locker stays. Eaton's locker moves down the
way. Well, I can say one thing about it. Eaton, nobody like you in a White Sox uniform in the clubhouse. Okay? That's what
That's
I
real.
Know.
That's being real.
I just being honest.
That is some real talk right there.
Gotta love Ozzy.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That go Team Frazier.
Was Ozzy, NBC Sports Chicago last night, and you heard Todd Frazier before that. And
Eaton, nobody like you.
Nobody like you. Let's get out to Chuck Garfine, our friend from NBC Sports Chicago covering the White Sox. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Hey, Chuck, how are you this morning?
Morning, Chuck.
I'm good. I had a feeling at some point we would be bringing back the discussion of Adam Eaton and Todd Frazier and why it started the rebuild. I never thought it would be because of what happened earlier this week on the field, though. Interesting stuff, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, Chuck, I had like, it was, it's like, whatever year that was with Mark Trestman running the Bears, like you hear of the things that went on that
14.
Year. And you just cringe. You don't like. You don't feel like happy to revisit that season. And the whole Drake and the father retiring, and Drake as a lead. That whole thing was so bizarre. And Chris Sale chopping up the jersey. I mean, it was just one of those years. But I was reading. I was reading the Daily Herald and saw the inclusion in the idea that. That he had once, Adam Eaton had once called a meeting to discuss voting him the Roberto Clemente Award. Hey guys, I think it'd be a good idea if we all voted for me. That you know, that's unlikable beyond unlikable.
Yeah. All right. Well, first off, let me begin with this. Adam Eaton was great to me. He actually, you know, in terms of a White Sox player and someone who. Was so accommodating from a media perspective, and I know White Sox fans are like, we don't care, just produce. He was a great guy. He clearly had problems in that clubhouse. And when you hear Todd Frazier say, you can ask 23 other guys in the clubhouse about him, so that would be, okay, you can ask Adam Eaton, who's the 25th? It's Chris Sale. What happened and what's happening right now with this White Sox team all goes back to 2016.
Yep.
And people said at the time, why we can't rebuild. Why would you? So for the people who are not on board with this rebuild, said you've had this nucleus of talent. You should be able to win with this group of players. Well, there were two things going on. One, there was not enough depth in the organization to sustain anything with that group of talent. Okay, that's one thing. Maybe what they could have done if the nucleus was strong, they could have tried again in 2017 and brought in more veterans to try and help. What happened was those veterans you're talking about, Sale and Eaton, okay, those are the big voices in that clubhouse, and we're seeing the kind of, you know, problems that were arising. You had the Drake LaRoche thing happen. You had Sale cutting up the jerseys. And then Todd Frazier was brought in along with other veterans, but he was the guy. They brought in 2016. They wanted him to be a leader in that clubhouse to kind of show them the way. He shows up, And what does he walk into? He walks into a hornet's nest in spring training where you see the Drake and Adam LaRoche thing. You see Todd Frazier not having an ability to lead because of Adam Eaton, and Sale was the voice of that clubhouse. And the Sox, after that season, and the amazing thing, they started 23-10.
Right.
But then the dysfunction that was going on, this team did not have the trust amongst each other when things hit the you-know-what. So all that was taken into account, and the Sox at that point were like, at the end of the season, we can't win with these guys. We need to reboot this whole thing and start over.
Okay, Chuck, Adam Eaton was not so great to me. So my perspective is much different than yours. He was a guy that was a tool in my book and was not somebody that I totally understand where Todd Frazier is coming from and where maybe 23 other guys. But when you look back to that season and when you guys talked about this on your podcast, which I think dropped last night, was there one incident? Was there several incidents? Some people point to something happened in August that maybe they had to be separated. Was that the impetus for the I guess, what's still going on now, the feud that still kind of lingers?
Yeah, that was the big one. They had a fight in the clubhouse.
Physical?
What's that?
A physical fight.
I don't know how physical it was. My guess is it was physical. Punches were thrown, but I don't know 100% how it all went down and what it looked like. But what I do know is very soon after that fight, I walked into the clubhouse. I'd heard about this so-called fight. Adam had moved his locker like way down, like 10 lockers down, and was trying to make it out to be like, well, it's so cold over there. It's a lot warmer over here. I was right under a vent, and you could tell that was, not exactly the truth. Many things happened that year. I don't want to get into all of it because it's not for me to say. But it was, Adam did not make himself very popular in that clubhouse. And Frazier took a lot of it personally. They clearly had a fight. And here we are 3 years later. They still have issues with each other.
That's awesome. There's no grudge like an old grudge, in my opinion. What did the Irish guy say when he walked by the two guys fighting? He said, is this a private fight or can anyone join in? That's how I feel about it. And I'm on Team Frazier. Adam Eaton, I thought, I had a good experience with him. And I remember, though, Chuck.
We lost a leader in Drake.
Oh, that's I'll never get
that. That was bad.
That was awful.
When I heard him say that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you cannot say that. You cannot say that because that was the problem. I mean, you could talk about the leadership, like how did Robin Ventura and the front office allow that? And then these new guys came in to like, hey, here we go. We're going to take the talent that's here and we're going to go. They show up first day, and I don't know who it was. I think it might have been Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah.
Went to Kenny Williams and said, wait, what
get
the
this
heck
kid
is going
here.
On here?
Yeah.
Didn't you guys go fishing with Adam Eaton?
Yes.
Was that you and Guff?
Yeah, we might have done that.
Is Guff okay?
We might have done that.
Is Ryan McGuffey okay throughout this whole thing? I know. Does he need a hug? Did you have to hug him through this? Because Adam Eaton, I know he's a big Eaton guy.
Yeah, he is. So am I. Can I just tell you something about Adam Eaton, okay? In 2014, all right, this is a personal story, and I just want to give you an idea of the kind of guy that Adam Eaton was to me. In 2014, my dad passed away, and he was sick during that part of I'm trying to get the time frame here. He was sick in 2014, and my dad had a Corvette, an old Corvette that I needed to sell because I didn't know a thing about Corvettes. Eaton knew a lot about Corvettes, and Adam went out of his way on like off days to go all the way down to South Holland where we were storing my dad's car, and he helped me sell it.
Oh.
And I knew nothing about it, and when my dad passed away. And he found out, he came over to me and like was really like just wanted to let me know that he was thinking about me. So
yeah, that's great.
There are two sides to Adam Eaton. He was great to me, not to David Haw.
Well, I'm not exactly on an island here, Chuck. I think that's a very nice story, but I do believe that there definitely are two sides to the guy. And a lot of Chicago saw the side that you saw as well. But he was as nice to you as he was annoying to everybody else.
Well, let's
and he was a great player. Look what he did on the field too. I mean,
look at the return they got
from
him
from a talent standpoint.
Yeah, look at the return they got. They may have a starting three pieces of a starting rotation. Certainly, only two of the only three they have now. Maybe Dane Dunning ends up being pretty good too. At any rate, Chuck, let's talk about the Sox themselves. You know, this is a hard measuring stick. This is a difficult team that they're matched up against, and it's really a hard place to play down in Houston. That team is awful good at home and an awful good team. Do we have to be careful about taking too much out of this series? Is it okay to hope that they can win one game, or is that setting the bar too low?
All right, whether they win two games, one game, or no games, you can't look at this series and say, okay, this rebuild is a total failure. Where is this team going?
Right.
Feel the pain of the losses because they stink, and the last two games have been rough, and they've gone into it. Brad Peacock, who had great stuff, and Justin Verlander, who had some of the best stuff I've ever seen from him. Mm. This is kind of where they're at right now, and they go into this series with their pitching staff in shambles, and they've actually done a good job under the circumstances with a bullpen day. Dylan Covey looked really good until he just ran out of gas in the fifth. You're going up against a team right now that is the best in baseball.
Right.
It is red hot. You're playing a four-game series in Houston. You bring back Eloy Jimenez, who has been on a rehab assignment for like 5 days, hasn't played in a month. Okay, now go and try and find yourself at the plate against Verlander and Peacock, and they got Gerrit Cole tonight. If you just look at where things are at right now with Houston and the White Sox, at this point in the season, this kind of stuff happens all the time, and they got to go into Minnesota. This is just, White Sox fans, brace yourself for a rough week, but don't let it be the reason why, the whole thing's a failure. It's just this is where things are at, happen to be right now. Bad timing for the White Sox, great timing for the Astros.
Great stuff, Chuck. Thanks a ton.
Thanks,
we
Chuck.
Appreciate your time.
Appreciate
All right.
it.
See you guys.
Yep. That is Chuck Garfine, NBC Sports Chicago White Sox reporter. And
his podcast will address a lot of this Adam Eaton, Todd Frazier stuff, and it's a very good podcast that he does.
Eaton, nobody like you.
On a regular basis.
I remember going to the fan convention one year, and Todd Frazier was on this panel. And it was with the little kids, which is always a really fun thing to go to. And some kid asked him what he was afraid of. And he, for 15 minutes, kept like interrupting sharks, spiders. Like he kept coming up with stuff that he was afraid of. It was the funniest bit.
He was a likable guy. He is a likable guy. I think that's one of the reasons when you hear him going off on a guy, you kind of support him because, he was, he's friendly.
312-644-6767. Whose side are you on? Do you have a side in that fight? Mully and Haw on the score.
Eaton, nobody like you.
We lost a leader in Drake, which is crazy enough as a 14-year-old if you look at that, but the kid was so tremendous.
Okay.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. So Kempo was telling me during the break that he was working that day when
it was
doing
a Saturday
updates.
Morning.
It was a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
He was on with Bruce and Mark Grody.
Mark Grody and Bruce Levine were hosting that morning.
I remember listening because I was listening Saturday morning.
Yeah,
might have been running.
I was doing updates and
I laughed.
Yeah, we all were kind of we were laughing, but we were also flabbergasted that this adult man would say something like that about a 14-year-old.
It is silly. This feud is silly. This whole thing is silly.
The feud is one of the dumbest things ever.
It's an all-timer.
And that's why it's awesome. Because it's so stupid. And just impenetrably idiotic. And I don't know why it delights me, but it makes me happy.
I'm glad that Chuck Garfine defended Adam Eaton because
we needed a little bit of balance after your bad-mouthing of him.
Well, not just
Eaton,
me, though.
Nobody like you.
Yeah, well, Ozzy kind of summed it up for everybody. I was just part of the chorus, and my experience,
the great chorus.
My experience was not unlike a lot of people's with Adam Eaton. I just did not have a good one. He reacted to something that I wrote. He was upset about it, and most guys
wanted to kick you out of the locker.
Yeah. So That's happens.
Right. It happens. You said he was hazard. You said he was a fourth outfielder.
I said in the an ideal Sox world, he's a fourth outfielder. That was written at the beginning of the season. He turned out to have a really good year. That looked like a bad thing to write. We've all been there, and he didn't appreciate it.
You,
so
you should have sent that column to Mike Rizzo.
He's more than a fourth outfielder to them.
312-644-6767. Len is in Highland Park. Hi, Len.
Good morning, Len.
Hi, guys. Good morning. You know, I get so sick of hearing about clubhouse dynamics, and it doesn't equate to winning baseball.
Right.
The best team in my 62 years I ever watched play as a season ticket holder with the White Sox that I would put against any team I saw in my lifetime was the Oakland A's in the early 70s.
Yep.
And they collectively hated their owner, hated their manager, hated their each other.
Right.
And they had the biggest horse's ass in the history of baseball playing right field. But they knew how
to play. 20 tabs for 20 players? Wasn't that the old adage? Like, they literally didn't spend any time together at all off the field.
But when you watched them on the baseball field, there was accountability for each player. They played winning baseball. And from Little League to the majors, if you played on any kind of baseball team, you got anywhere from 12 to 25 guys, depending what level you're at. And half of the guys can't stand each other. And it has nothing to do with winning baseball.
Well, I don't agree, Len. I mean, I think that's a good example, but I think it also might be the exception to the rule. Chemistry matters. You can overcome bad chemistry, but I think good chemistry can help you become a winning team. I think it can help you do things that you might not ordinarily do. The Cubs have had very good chemistry. They've had very good pitching. They've had very good hitting, but they also have had good chemistry under Joe Maddon. He's established a culture that's conducive to letting guys be themselves. And I think all that contributes to the idea of having a winning baseball team.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree. I think that the sport itself is so individual when it comes to, you know, what's the great line from that Al Capone, you know, individual achievement when you're at the plate, that you don't really rely on other guys. I mean, and there are even cases where if a guy's trying to steal a base, it can be distracting and a player can get mad at him. I mean, it's just weird, some of those strange things that can happen in baseball. I think that in football, you need to have chemistry. In basketball, you need to have chemistry, especially on the floor. I don't know that you need it necessarily in baseball, and I think it is individual achievement that
What about the 2016 Sox? I mean, you pointed out that they had some issues from the beginning that started with this whole Drake LaRoche thing.
Things can fall apart. It can ruin a team. But I'm saying, I think you got to have good talent to win in baseball. You got to have good pitching. You got to have good defense. You can get by without one thing, but it's really not about, I mean, you know, having the greatest bonds in the world is not going to help you win a baseball game, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
No, I don't know. I think it can help you win at times. I do think that if you have a catcher that has a good rapport with the pitcher and they're thinking on the same wavelength, if you have, you know, guys who will do little things that don't show up in the box score, as they say, I do think it helps to have team-oriented guys, and that's all under the kind of umbrella of chemistry. So it's an interesting question, though, I think that Les brings up, because if you have talent that can prevail over anything, have you had examples of talent, good teams that have been derailed by bad chemistry?
312-644-6767. We're going to get to all your calls. First, let's get a scoreboard update with Joe. Do you believe in chemistry in baseball, Joe?
There's an element to it. Mm-hmm. There's some of it, but most of it is pitcher versus batter for me. It's pretty much matchup based, and the numbers and the way these teams play it with managers' decisions pretty much tell you that.
Eaton, nobody like you.
Scoreboard update.
That's so funny.
Do you think he made the Grabbernet.com's list of worst White Sox players?
Oh, yeah.
Is he doing worst of every team?
Wouldn't that be
great? Like worst of.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Eaton, nobody like you.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good gosh. What a ridiculous argument that's going on between a couple of former White Sox players dating back to 2016, when that season led to some bad blood between
two outspoken guys. Yeah, two guys who
a Jersey guy and a
have a little bit to say.
Outspoken guy.
Yeah, well, Todd Frazier was brought here
right.
to be the guy, a voice in the clubhouse.
He's more of like a Jersey kind of, you know.
Without question.
Adam Eaton's more of a motor mouth type guy, right? Isn't there a difference?
Well, I think there's a difference. Yeah. One guy is easier to tune out.
It's like a mosquito.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a lot of people that
want to fly swatter.
Check in on the Adam Eaton.
We do.
Todd Frazier.
That's the thing that's fascinating.
Hysterical. It's hysterical.
People are drawn to this.
Let's try it. Let's start with, Marlo? Marlo is listening on the road. Hey, Marlo.
Good morning, Marlo.
Good morning. Good morning. You know, I'll say this. I'm a diehard Cub fan, so this is a little bit of a schadenfreude for me. But it just seems like this is much ado about nothing. They're 3 years beyond it, and it's still going on. I will say I heard you guys talking about the chemistry thing earlier. And while people may say it's not essential, I'm like, it's better to have it than not. And so I just think, you know, that was part of the dysfunction in the White Sox clubhouse was this, and it just epitomized what happened with their team.
Yeah, I think that it is necessary.
Thanks,
I mean, it's an interesting discussion, though, because if you have marginal talent, can above average chemistry elevate a team to do more than they're capable?
No.
You're saying no. I'm saying yes. And whereas I think that
if you have above average talent, you know, maybe your chemistry can let you down, but I don't think
I think we've seen it in baseball.
I'm talking about baseball. I think that there is an element to that in other sports, but not in baseball.
Hmm. You think baseball stands alone?
I think it stands apart, not alone. It's different than other sports.
I have to look at some examples because I don't know that. I don't know that I totally agree with that, but it's an interesting point of view. Good debate. Now, see, that's probably a better debate than two guys arguing over what was said in 2016 in a White Sox clubhouse.
I want to slug you again. Let's try Wayne. Wayne's in Oswego. Good morning, Wayne.
The White Sox best hitter this year has been James McCann, who keeps being benched by the worst White Sox hitter, Wellington Castile, who ironically is batting cleanup for the team, and he's not hitting his weight. I just can't help but wonder, is it unfair to ask, is the White Sox management team this stupid, or are they losing these games on purpose?
Wayne, thank you very much.
Thanks,
I don't want to call anybody stupid. I'm not saying that anybody is stupid. I don't like name calling, but I will say this. That's an excellent point about James McCann. It's an excellent question about Tim Anderson. I don't understand the White Sox lineup sometimes. I don't understand their plan in the rotation. So these baseball issues, they're real. I don't get some of the things that they're doing this year. I know their expectations were low, but do you have to live up or down to expectations all the time?
I'm sitting here thinking about the White Sox lineup and how they line guys up, and I can't define it for you. I don't understand why they play guys at the spots they do. I haven't heard a lot of reaction from Ricky, a lot of explanation. I haven't heard a lot of questions asked.
If you're going to get this little out of Yonder Alonso,
why is he in the lineup?
Why is
all?
He there? Bring up Paul.
Why is he in the lineup?
I can understand McCann sitting sometimes because he's a catcher. It's a long season. You need to give catchers days off from time to time. But to the caller's point, you know, if you're going to have Wellington Castillo there, he can't be hitting fourth or fifth.
Right.
Yonder Alonso cannot be hitting fourth or fifth.
No.
If you insist on playing them, they can't be in the middle of your lineup. It's just
so weird.
It's unconscionable.
And you know, Tim Anderson's cooled off quite a bit, and they said that, well, he's staying at seventh because that's where he's been hottest.
It's May 22nd. It's not spring training. You're not coming out of Arizona. That's the stuff that gets you mad.
Yeah, I'm not a lineupista, but I don't understand a lot of what they're doing with their lineup. And who knows? Bob is in Chicago.
A really non-sophisticated way to look at this whole
thing.
Thank
you, Joe.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. You?
So I was at a game in May of 2015, probably about 15 rows towards a batter's circle. Adam Eaton comes up on one run in the seventh inning, and it's 2-0, and he swings at a ball in the dirt. And so I sort of let him have it. You know, what are you doing? You're a leadoff hitter. Plus, he was batting 198. So I let him have it on that. Then he swings at a couple of bad pitches, hits into a double play, jogs off the field. So I was very unhappy, and I let him have it. He walks up to where I'm sitting to the wall and, like, challenged me.
No way. What did he say, Bob?
He just came up and let me know I heard him. Put his chest out, and we're all like, really? I was the only one standing, and I kept letting him have it. Just like, you know, next time run off the field, take a 2-0 pitch. I go, what? We learned that in Little League. I was just like, what a jerk. He literally had rabbit ears. He heard it for sure because there was only about 10,000 people in the place. But I was just sort of taken aback by it. I was like, come on. You're batting 198 and you're going to swing at 2-0 in the seventh inning with nobody out.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
That's hysterical.
Well,
he definitely heard it because there were only 10,000 people.
I don't know what Bob said to Adam Eaton that might have set him off. Maybe he was said some things that he shouldn't have said. But I can vouch that Adam Eaton did hear a lot of stuff react to a lot of things that if they were critical of him, he did not like.
He had rabbit ears and apparently rabbit eyes because
yes,
he read your story and didn't like it.
He read stories. Uh-huh. He heard things on the radio. He saw things on television. Yeah, he was well aware of what was being said about the White Sox and specifically his role on the White Sox.
There's nothing wrong with being aware of what's being said about the White Sox, but why you would want to then turn it into a personal vendetta about something said about you. The idea that you would call a team meeting to try to get an award seems absurd to me. And if that is
of all the examples that we've heard, that's probably the most damning.
Well, it's just
hey guys. Let's all get together. And you know that vote for the good guy award, for the Roberto Clemente award? Vote for me because I'm a good guy.
Didn't Eaton have problems with Miguel Montero back in Arizona, too? That was one of the reasons they traded him from the Diamondbacks to the White Sox.
And people assumed it was Montero.
Right. It's just, if you think everybody else is the problem and you're in a room and then you're the only good one, chances are you're the problem.
Pattern of behavior.
Well, I don't know. It's pretty funny. It's funny to look back on because you're not involved in that fight, but it happened here. So it's carried over, and it's just amusing. Did they not speak before the game, though, and looked civil about it? But, you know,
then after the game, Eaton went back at him.
You know what's funny is Eaton kind of started it. Like, they got into some yelling match, and he kind of started it. And then he said, basically described himself as someone who had to pay a mortgage. And then when Frazier came back, he said, you know, go pay off your mortgage. You make enough money, pay off
your mortgage.
And then Adam Eaton comes back and says, well, I've already paid off my mortgage. I just didn't want to say it because I didn't want to look like I was. Like, are you kidding me? It's like guys running down the block yelling at each other.
And I got
it's
a 4.5% interest rate, and it was really good.
Should you pay off?
You know, men usually settle on the field. They don't need to talk about it. But you know, he started with coming at me with that kind of. I'm a man. I got a mortgage. I'm paying two kids. Pay off your mortgage. I don't know what to tell you.
Pay off your mortgage. I already have. I just didn't want to be showboating about I have more money. I'm trying to be humble here.
Okay.
Should you pay off your mortgage? What would be the advice that people give you? Doesn't it, if your mortgage, I mean, I'd imagine Adam Eaton bought his house a while ago. He's probably got like a mortgage below 4, right? How good is the market going and is that sustainable and how do you measure those things in terms of figuring out whether to keep your mortgage or
when I'm making
money.
An average of $4.5 million per year, I'll let you know how I feel about paying off my mortgage.
We'll get Hochberg on the line.
Exactly.
We'll ask.
Yeah. Well, I mean, someone needs to answer. Let's try Jay. Jay is in Rockford.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I know we hear a lot about like re-signing. We're all talking about re-signing Bryant here in the future, and I believe that Bryant is arguably the best player, obviously, on the Cubs. But what about Baez? I don't hear enough about how important it's going to be to get him signed long-term. And then second part of my rant here is, who is Joe Girardi most likely to coach for next year, the Cubs or the Sox?
Well, I don't think the Sox are paying him, and I don't know that the Cubs are paying him. I would say
none of the above.
Yeah.
I'd say if I were to pick a future destination for Joe Girardi, it would probably be the Mets or the Nationals before it would be the Cubs or the Sox. But could be wrong. He's going to be sought after, especially when he's made it known that he wants to manage again. And he's not talking about his kids' team. He wants to manage again at the major league level.
Let's get to Scott. He's in Arlington Heights. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. So I just want to talk about the importance of team chemistry. I played low-level pro ball for 3 years, and you're with those guys 8 hours a day on the field, in the hotel, on road trips. You just need to be feeling like you want to be with those guys, and whether that's team chemistry or not, I mean, I do believe it makes you feel like you want to be there, you got to like the guys, and you want to be able to go out and play. So I do think team chemistry is something that you guys need with how much time you spend amongst each other. Otherwise, you just want to get out of there.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate that. Yeah. I think it's a good point. You especially in baseball, you're around these guys from February until ideally October. That's a long time. That's a long time to not have chemistry matter. And by the way, we talked about guys paying their mortgage. The conversation between Adam Eaton and Todd Frazier paying their mortgage is comical because Adam Eaton makes $8.4 million this year and Todd Frazier makes $9 million this year. So I don't care where they're living. They're probably going to be able to pay off their mortgage already.
If you're in New York, though, the mortgage might be pretty high. You probably rent.
Probably rent, but there's got to be.
Don't you have a home somewhere?
They probably own a home somewhere.
Right. I don't know. How you go about it.
You know, I would think so. Nobody's having a GoFundMe page to get Adam Eaton to pay his mortgage or Todd Frazier.
All right. You know what? Speaking of mortgage, let's pay your mortgage. Right now, it's your time to win $1,000 in cash on the score. All right, we'll pay part of your mortgage. I don't know how bad your mortgage is, but $1,000 would help anyone. Kevin's waving his hands. He wants the money.
I don't have a mortgage.
This hour's keyword is salary. Text the word salary, S-A-L-A-R-Y, to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is salary. Kevin is unhappy with his salary. 72881, one randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. It's Mully and Haw. We'll bring in Dan and Connor next, and we'll talk a little chemistry because we've got amazing chemistry with those two dudes. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.